أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ تقول للذي أنعم الله عليه وأنعمت عليه أمسك عليك زوجك واتق الله وتخفي في نفسك ما الله مبديه وتخشى الناس والله أحق أن تخشاه فلما قضى زيد منها وطرا زوجناكها لكي لا يكون على المؤمنين حرج في أزواج أدعيائهم إذا قضوا منهن وطرا وكان أمر الله مفعولا. ما كان على النبي من حرج فيما فرض الله له سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا. الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. We're going through the surah, Surah Al-Ahzab. And last week we finished with verse number 36, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He declared, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمَ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not appropriate for a mu'min man nor a mu'min woman, believing man or believing woman, that when Allah and His Prophet, they decide upon a situation, that they should have a choice from themselves. And whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has openly gone astray. So one of those interpretations or explanations of that verse was that it was about Zainab bint Jahsh, for whom the Prophet ﷺ has suggested that she should marry Zayd ibn Haritha. Now Zayd ibn Haritha was, as we probably are aware, he was the freed slave of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ loved him very much, and he basically treated him like a son, and not only that, he used to call him his son. And it got to a point where he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad. And this was one of the first things that we discussed at the beginning of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified and said that nobody should call anybody else by call somebody their son if he is not their blood son. Meaning, literally treating them as a son and telling them that you are my son when there is no real blood relationship. And this ruling was, of course, for the Prophet ﷺ also. So then the Prophet ﷺ stopped calling him his son. But this issue of Zayd ibn Haritha being a slave, it was important for the Prophet ﷺ to clarify to the people that once you set your slaves free, they still have to be given their place in society. It's not like they should be rejected and treated as a lower class. So the Prophet ﷺ, he asked his cousin, Zainab bint Jahsh, to marry him. So the issue was very, very strange for a lot of people, because Zainab bint Jahsh, like I said, she is the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. She is the daughter of Umayma, who was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. Okay, so basically his aunt, she was the daughter of his aunt, and they basically had the same grandfather. So people were really shocked that how is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling his cousin, who is from this really superior tribe of Quraysh, to marry somebody who used to be a slave. It doesn't make sense. And Zainab bint Jahsh was also a little bit hesitant to do that. And for that, this ayah was revealed, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ, that it is not appropriate for any believing man or believing woman, that once Allah and His Prophet have made any kind of decision, that they should adopt their own decisions. Okay, so ultimately they did get married, and you know, Zayd bin Haritha and Zainab bin Jahsh, they started living together as husband and wife, but there was a severe incompatibility. And because of this incompatibility, ultimately that marriage broke up. Okay, and the Prophet ﷺ, during the course of the marriage, kept telling Zayd ibn Haritha, don't divorce her, keep her as your wife, and so on. And verses were revealed about this issue. So, there is a lot of controversy surrounding this issue from non-Muslim sources, from people who are critical of Islam. And one of those controversies and accusations against the Prophet ﷺ was that he had seen, na'udhu billah, I quote the sources who are saying derogatory things about the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ had seen her while she was taking a shower, and basically he fell in love with her. And when he fell in love with her, he went and tried to break up this relationship of husband and wife between Zayd ibn Haritha and Zainab bin Jahsh, and then marry Zainab bin Jahsh himself. Now there are many answers to this question. Number one, that Zainab bin Jahsh, she herself, prior to marrying Zayd ibn Haritha, she wanted to marry the Prophet ﷺ. So if he wanted to marry her in the first place, he knew what she looked like then. Why did he wait till many years later, that now she's been married to Zayd ibn Haritha and everything? Why wait till afterwards? If he wanted to marry her, he could have married her in the first place. So this accusation really holds no ground when this issue is put to the forefront, that Zainab bin Jahsh actually wanted to marry him in the first place. But then he insisted that she should marry Zayd ibn Haritha, and then she did go on to marry him, and then ultimately that marriage broke up. So there were issues related to what was the wisdom behind marrying Zayd ibn Haritha in the first place, and the divorce that took place, there's a wisdom behind that. And also, ultimately marrying her, there's also wisdom behind that. Firstly, her marrying Zayd ibn Haritha, the wisdom behind it was that the slaves have to be given a place in society. Okay? Unlike in this country, what's happened, that slavery was abolished hundreds of years ago. But still, this mentality of, you know, the white man, the Caucasian, being superior to the black man, and the people who are colored, they are treated in an inferior way. This is, you know, it's very, very rare that, for example, an African-American man marries a white woman. Very rare indeed. Why? Because they're still treated as an inferior class. Okay, so what the Prophet ﷺ was doing was, Zayd ibn Haritha, who is a freed slave, he is being married to a woman who has a very noble background. She is a woman from Quraysh, and she is the blood cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, to show people that it doesn't matter if it's a freed slave, you need to look at the character of the person, and you need to look at what the person's akhlaq is like, and then marry your daughters to them accordingly. Secondly, the divorce that took place, there was incompatibility there. So Islam teaches us that if there is truly incompatibility, they're not getting along with each other, then why is it that the marriage is not broken up? You can't break the marriage up. And Islam doesn't want to torture both husband and wife who are living with each other and they hate each other. Islam is not like this, like the Roman Catholics. True Roman Catholics, they don't allow for a divorce to take place. Okay? And in many extreme cases, abortion is not even permissible, even if the mother is dying and so on. You know, some extreme cases, they don't even take that into consideration, the mother's life. So Islam is not like this. If there's true incompatibility between a husband and wife, then there is an allowance for them to break up. And this is what happened with Zayd ibn Haritha and Zainab bin Jahsh. The third thing was that the Prophet ﷺ had adopted Zayd ibn Haritha as a kind of an adopted son, as a foster son. And in those days, anybody who adopted somebody as a foster son, if he got married to a woman, then the people, the father or the stepfather or the foster father, he could not marry this woman. Just like in Islam, when a blood son, who is your blood, who is really your true son, if he marries a woman, then that woman automatically becomes haram for the father. And vice versa. If the father marries a woman, then that woman becomes haram for the son forever and ever. So this ruling was taken in the days of Jahiliyyah for real fathers as well as foster fathers. So what Islam wanted to do and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to do was to make sure that this ruling of Jahiliyyah, which was an incorrect ruling, that should be abolished. And by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam leading by example, by going on to marry Zainab bin Jahsh, who had been married to his foster son, then that was an example for people to follow, to understand that ruling is no more. We are not supposed to follow the rulings of the days of Jahiliyyah. So basically this section is about this whole situation that took place with the marriage of Zainab bin Jahsh and Zayd bin Haritha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَخْشَاهُ. He's addressing the Prophet ﷺ and saying, when you say to he who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him and you have blessed him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Zayd ibn Haritha to be in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and also the Prophet ﷺ had blessed him by calling him his son and adopting him as his son. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say to him? أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ. Hold fast your wife, meaning don't divorce your wife. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ himself was telling them that don't divorce your wife and hold on to your wife, and he wasn't persuading him to divorce his wife. And then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ, and you told him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet addressing Zayd ibn Haritha, telling him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسِ. And you were hiding in your heart what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to make clear, and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ is being told that you are hiding in your heart something which Allah is going to make clear anyway. What was that? It is mentioned in the riwayat that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they said that it's narrated from Zayd ibn Jid'an, he says that Ali ibn Hussein asked me that what does this mean? What did Hassan radiallahu anhu say about this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِي, that you are hiding in your heart what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make clear. So he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was wanting to tell him that was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying was that Allah has already informed you that you're going to marry Zainab bin Jahsh. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's being informed already by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to marry her, but still he's trying to persuade Zayd ibn Haritha to keep her as his wife and not to divorce her. So, you know, this is ayah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that ultimately you're going to marry her anyway. So, you know, you should not be afraid of what people are going to say, because this was something that, again, it was looked down upon. It was something that was not practiced, that a person should go on and marry his stepson. Okay, the divorced wife of his stepson. So Allah says, I'll do the ayah again. وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي, and when you are saying to the one that Allah has blessed him, وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ, and you have blessed him, and with favors, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ, that hold on to your wife and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ, and you are hiding in your heart what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make clear. وَتَخْشَى النَّاسِ, and you are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى, Allah is more worthy that you should fear Him. فلما قضى زيد منها وطرا زوجناكها لكي لا يكون على المؤمنين حرج. And when Zayd had finished or he had completed the objective, meaning he had completed the objective of divorcing her and completed his marriage with her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زوجناكها, we married you to her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told, we married you, O Prophet of Allah, to her. Why? لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٍ, so that there would not be upon the people of Iman any kind of haraj, any kind of difficulty, fi أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ, in the matter of the divorcees, or in the matter of their wives, of their foster sons. إِذَا قَضَوْ مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا, when they had completed their objective with them, meaning when they have divorced them. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا, and indeed, the situation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always going to happen, is going to come about, whether anybody wants to, or whether anybody hesitates, or anybody is afraid, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, it will happen. It's narrated in a riwayat of Bukhari from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He says, إن زينب بنت جحش radiallahu anha كانت تفخر على أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Zainab bin Jahsh radiallahu anha, she used to be proud, and she used to show her kind, not arrogance, but kind of, she used to be proud of something which was unique to her, which was she used to say, فتقول زوجكنا أهاليكنا, that your families married you off, all of the rest of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَزَوَّجَنِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعِ سَمَاوَاتِ, Allah is the one who married me above the seven skies. Allah brought down that decision that I should marry the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So Zainab bin Jahsh, she was a very unique woman. She was a very pious woman. And it is mentioned about her in riwayat that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who has the longest fingers from amongst you, she will be the first to pass away and meet me after her death. So the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to measure each other's hands to see who had the longest fingers. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't physically mean the longest fingers. What he meant was, the woman who is the most generous from amongst you, she is the one that is going to come. And her generosity was basically unparalleled. She was a very, very generous woman. She used to give a lot in sadaqah. It's mentioned that during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, a huge treasure came into the ghanaim, in the spoils of war, and a big pile of gold was brought into her house, and it was left for her as her share, being from the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. She told a slave girl, take this to that needy person, take this to that needy person, and at the end of the day, she asked how much is remaining. She said about 80 dinars, 80 dirhams or 80 dinars, meaning a very minimal amount from the amount that had been given to her. All of the rest was given in charity. And she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should never see so much wealth again. I don't want to see that kind of wealth in my house. So, truly what happened was that before the next victory of the Muslims, she had actually passed away, her dua was accepted. And she was the first wife that died at the age of around 50, she passed away, and she was the first of the wives that had passed away. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مِنْ حَرَجٍ فِي مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. There is no haraj upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon him. The Prophet should not feel ashamed about anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon him. This is something that Allah has ordained, Allah has decided, and he should not feel ashamed about it. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِ. It is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has passed from before. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made decisions before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought down things which were revolutionary in their time. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will always happen. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. The amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is estimated and it will happen. It is something that is always going to happen. الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحْدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Those people that make the bligh, that propagate the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fear Him, and they don't fear anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to be the one who is the hasib, meaning the one who takes the hisab, who takes the hisab, and accounts for people on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the ones who do the risalah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't fear anybody. They only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should go ahead and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and not be afraid of anything. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ بِرِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of you men. So here there are two things which have been explained to the ummah. First of all, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he called Zayd ibn Haritha his adopted son, it did not make him his blood son, which has been mentioned already earlier. And also, it is showing that his male progeny did not survive. He had some male children, 3 or 4 according to different riwayat, but they all passed away in their childhood. And the only progeny that remained were his female children, and from them, the family tree carried on. So Allah is saying that the male progeny of the Prophet ﷺ did not survive. Okay, and also, this ayah says, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, but he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, he is the seal of all the prophets. And there are many riwayat which talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the last prophet. In one riwayat it's mentioned from Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, مَثَلِي فِي النَّبِيِّينَ كَمَثَلِي رَجُلٍ بَنَا دَارًا فَأَحْسَنَهَا وَأَكْمَلَهَا. My example, as compared to all of the rest of the prophets, is like a person who makes a house. And he makes it complete in every single way. He makes it beautiful in every single way. وَتَرَكَ فِيهَا مَوْضِعَ لَبِنَةٍ. But what does he do? He leaves in it one place for a brick. Meaning the whole house is complete, there's only one brick remaining. Sometimes we have this kind of, when you build a masjid or something, you leave one space for a brick, and then a very pious person comes and basically puts that last brick in as a kind of barakah. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, he's giving you this example. He says that, you know, it's like a huge building that is built and there's one place left for a brick. لم يضعها, that was not, that was not completed. فَجَعَلَ النَّاسِ يَطُوفُونَ بِالْبُنْيَانِ وَيَعْجَبُونَ مِنْهُ وَيَقُولُونَ لَوْ تَمَّ مَوْضِيَ هَذِي الْلَبِنَةِ. And people, they come to this building and they start wandering around it and saying, what a beautiful building, but how wonderful it would be to complete this one place that is left empty and blank with one brick. فَأَنَا فِي النَّبِيِّينَ مَوْضِعُ تِلْكَ اللَّبِنَةِ. Among the prophets, I am that brick. The rest of the building is all of the rest of the prophets, and I am that final brick that came amongst all of the prophets, and there is basically no more prophet to come after me. And there's another riwayah from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who says, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرِّسَالَةَ وَالنُّبُوَةَ قَدْ انْقَطَعَتْ فَلَا رَسُولَ بَعْدِي وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. The Prophet ﷺ said that Risalah and Nubuwah has finished. There is no prophet after me and no Nabi. So, قَالَ فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This was kind of difficult for the people. That while you are here, O Prophet of Allah, we could talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we could get messages directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's going to be very difficult to be without a prophet to do this for us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَكِنَّ الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. There are mubashirat still there. What are the mubashirat? The hadith goes on. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean? What is وَمَا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ؟ قَالْ رُؤْيَ الرَّجُلِ الْمُسْلِمِ رؤيا الرجل المسلم وهي جزء من أجزاء النبوة. The dream of a pious Muslim, this is one of the parts of the nubuwah which is still remaining. So a person who is pious, who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three types of dreams. One dream is from a person's own psychology, that for example, if a person is worried about losing his job or something, he will dream about it at night. A person is worried about a journey that he is about to undertake, he will dream about it at night. The second thing is the dream from the shaitan, that the shaitan basically puts wasawis inside his heart and makes him have nightmares or have bad kinds of dreams. So this is from the shaitan. And the third kind of dream is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has a message for a person. And that comes when a person becomes pious and he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will start having these dreams. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is from the parts of nubuwah. There's another riwayat it says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni 'inda Allahi la khatamun nabiyyin wa inna Adama lamunjadilun fi tinatihi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I was the seal of the prophets already while Adam alayhi salam was being mixed with the soil, meaning while he was being made even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decided about me that I was to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, I was to be the seal of the prophets. And another riwayah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates, Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu says, that he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Inna li asma, I have many names, Ana Muhammad, I am Muhammad, Wa ana Ahmad, I am Ahmad, Wa ana al-Mahi, Alladhi yamhu Allahu ta'ala bihi al-kufr. My name is Mahi. Mahi means the one who extinguishes or deletes. Because through me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extinguish and delete kufr. وَأَنَا الْحَاشِرُ الَّذِي يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ قَدَمَيْهِ. I am the one who gathers. In front of me, all of the people are going to be gathered, you know, at my feet. Meaning on the Day of Judgment, the people are going to be gathered. وَأَنَا الْعَاقِبُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ نَبِيٌّ. I am the Aqib. Aqib means the one who comes at the end. Okay? And after me, there's not going to be any Nabi, there's not going to be any Prophet after me. So, with this, inshallah, we finish the lesson. I had recited a few more verses, but they're connected to the dhikr that, inshallah, we're going to continue next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.